Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On MLB listeners will get $50 off of purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement rings. Use code Locked On at checkout. And now we're going to go north of the border. We're going to be talking Toronto baseball. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. I am a comedian, a television producer, a writer. You may have seen me on HBO Sports' Curse of the Bambino. I've been podcasting for over a decade, and I know a little something about each and every team. Although I will confess, I don't understand what's happening with one team today, and that's going to be the focus on today's show. And we have Jen Smith, friend of the podcast, who I have, in case of emergency, break glass for all Toronto activities. And she is coming on the show today. And we're going to be talking a little about the very surprising thing that happened on this afternoon, which is the 13th day of July, 2022. That's right. We're getting this one out the door. We're not waiting for the morning. This is fresh news. Follow us at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and Instagram. And when you're playing Twister, be sure to say Locked On MLB Pods. That's how crazy this news is. I'm not even going to edit that out. Okay? This is breaking news. Follow me on Twitter at Sully Baseball and Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Yeah, this is absolutely banana boat time. The Toronto Blue Jays, who as of yesterday's final, were a playoff team. Tremendous expectations. They had a disappointing week. And here's what you do. When you have a disappointing week, kind of, you know, lick your wounds, say, okay, that wasn't a great week. It's a long season. Get to the playoffs. Get your ticket punched. And, oh, yeah, fire your manager. I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to go to the bullpen. I'm your pal Sully. But coming to right here is Jen Smith coming out of the bullpen. How you doing, Jen?
I'll tell you, when I woke up this morning, I did not think we would be doing an emergency Blue Jays podcast tonight. I can tell you that much.
Nope. Yeah, Charlie Montoyo was canned. Now, I will say that Toronto's had a rough week, a rough 10 days. Seattle and Baltimore have been playing at a different level and basically putting the pressure upon Toronto to win a few games. And as we're recording this, the Blue Jays are slapping the Phillies around. It's 6-0 as we're recording this. But, okay, what happened? That's my question to you. What?
I mean, this team has been underperforming all season. I think anybody who's even marginally follows Major League Baseball knows that this team has underperformed all season compared to the expectations coming into the season. I mean, this is a good team. This is a great team on paper, and it has not performed the way that one would have expected. And, you know, I think there is enough blame to go around at all levels here, but, you know, as we know, sports can be cruel. And sometimes when a team is performing below expectations and they have as rough of a weekend as the Blue Jays did over on the West Coast, sometimes the easy solution the thing that you can do the easiest and the quickest is to fire the manager. And I think that that is at least in part what happened here today.
Okay, it still doesn't make sense to me. And bear with me on this. Yes, the Blue Jays have underperformed. I picked them to win the pennant. I'm not alone on that. But we also didn't know that the Yankees were going to be a 110-win team. Nobody thought that the team was going to get the great years out of, you know, getting the out of King, out of Holmes, out of Nestor Cortez. As I've been saying, the Yankees turned a bunch of question marks into exclamation points. And so if you claim you knew that this was going to be a team that they were going to be mentioning in the same breath as the 1961 or 1998 Yankees, I do not believe you. I need to see receipts. But also, there's still, we're not at the All-Star break yet. You know, this Blue Jays team can turn things around. Now, I'm trying to think of when the last time a team that a lot of people thought were going to do really, really well underperformed the first half and then went on to win the World Series. You have to go, you know what? That hasn't happened in months. That happened with the Braves last year, where at this point last year, they were a sub 500 team. And then they got their act together. They punched their ticket to the postseason. And look what happened. When you have a super talented, and in order to go back, the 2019 was the last time it happened before that with the Washington Nationals. Again, stumbled out of the gate, underperformed, boom. Next thing you know, there's a parade. I'm not saying this is guaranteed a parade, but the scenario that has the Blue Jays making it to the playoffs, having a very talented team in the playoffs, and then suddenly hitting their stride at the right time is not an outlandish theory. So why is the panic button being hit now?
So as we currently sit here, FanGraphs has the Blue Jays sitting at an 81.8% chance to make the playoffs.
Fire the manager.
Okay. They currently are tied with Seattle for the third wild card spot. So I can see, of course, that is a bit of a concern. Toronto absolutely opened the door for Seattle by getting swept this weekend, all four games. But you're right. Like the Blue Jays are currently in a playoff position, and there is still the trade deadline to come. And if you take a look at this team, I mean, there are a number of different issues. One has been the underwhelming performance of certain offensive players.
You were saying it as if I cannot say their names. Certain offensive
players. I'll name them. Okay, I will cool. name them. You know, George Springer, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Bo Bichette, for example. You know, Vlad Guerrero Jr. has been playing well, but not in comparison to his near MVP season of last year. You know, and you go on down the list.
Well, Chapman has been a disappointment, and as has Teoscar Hernandez so far, too.
Absolutely, right? So other than maybe a couple of hot streaks, and, you know, Teoscar Hernandez has always been streaky, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, by and large, these are players who have not performed the way one would expect. Then you look at the pitching side of things, right? And you look at what the rotation was supposed to be coming into this season. And so you had, you know, Hyunjin Ryu, right. Jose Barrios, Kevin Gausman, Alek Manoah, and Yusei Kikuchi. Ryu has had to have Tommy John surgery. He's out. He, in all likelihood, has thrown his last pitch for the Toronto Blue Jays. Probably. So that hole had to be filled with Ross Stripling, who's done a phenomenal job, by the way. Mm-hmm. Absolutely phenomenal. But then, you know, you've got Yusei Kikuchi, who I don't even know what is happening there, but the Blue Jays signed him thinking that they could tinker with him and, you know, whatever they saw in his peripheral numbers, they thought they could turn him into something. And that hasn't worked out to expectation. So, you know, he's been put on the IL with neck strain.
And well, he's straining watching all the balls fly off the wall. That's strain your neck after a while.
Exactly. And then, you know, so that those are two gaping holes that, you know, supposedly were laid out for this team at the beginning of the season. Jose Barrios has had his struggles. Kevin Gausman was hit on the foot and has had to miss starts. And so you start looking at that, plus the bullpen, which has been overworked. Mm-hmm. And, you know, other than a couple of reliable high leverage guys, they're lacking swing and miss out of the bullpen. They're lacking a long man out of the bullpen because that was Ross Stripling's role. Right. And you look at this roster construction top to bottom, there are definitely holes and there are players who are underperforming. How much of that can you put on a manager, right?
Yeah. I was just about to say when I didn't hear any of this complaining about, not that you're complaining, but you understand that I didn't hear anyone looking at the team as it was constructed going into this season saying, oh, this is a poorly constructed team. In fact, I think people thought that this was a team that was going to bring nothing but great memories to Toronto fans and maybe even bust out a ring. And if you're looking to make great memories and bust out a ring, you got to go to BlueNile.com. Whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as the one you love with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Looking for fine jewelry but having trouble choosing? Blue Nile has experts on hand 24/7 available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com and Locked On MLB listeners will get $50 off of any purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement rings. So use code Locked On. That's code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships for free, and arrives in discreet packaging, so won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. We're here with Jen Smith in case of emergency, break glass, because this is crazy town. So Charlie Montoyo gets fired. He's fired. Get out your drinking, folks. I'm going to say Bruce Bochy's lieutenants, you know, they could sneak one of them, put one of them in there, but they could bring in Joe Maddon if they want. He's filling out his LinkedIn page. They can bring in Joe Girardi. That should be fun. Was there like a player revolt? I'm just really trying to figure out the autopsy here.
There have been suggestions today by various members of the media that perhaps there were issues with the clubhouse. None of that, for the record, has been reported or even hinted at throughout this entire season, right? I mean, Charlie Montoyo, first of all, if we backtrack here, when this front office decided that John Gibbons was no longer going to be the manager and right. They went on their search for a new manager and interviewed people, you know, Charlie Montoyo, I think, was a very unexpected choice. A lot of people were caught off guard by him being given the managerial position. But this was the guy that the front office chose. This is also the guy that the front office chose to extend this past offseason.
Yeah.
Right. And I suppose, you know, that you often see that happen so that you don't have a so-called lame duck manager out there. But, you know, to give a guy an extension and then fire him, what, 3-4 months later? There's definitely something missing. There's a missing link in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and as I said, up until today, I had not even heard a whisper that there might have been issues with the clubhouse. And then all of a sudden today, now there are these suggestions that perhaps, you know, there was, you know, Charlie Montoyo had lost the clubhouse. Of course, Ross Atkins was asked that in his media scrum and denied that. But that certainly hasn't stopped, you know, several media members from suggesting that that was true. I believe it was Scott Mitchell from TSN. He said that he asked one veteran player who said that he was not surprised and that was all he was going to say. You know, there was a players only meeting held on Friday. And I think it was George Springer and David Phelps both sort of said that the meeting was, you know, they needed to maybe talk about why they were underperforming and kind of pick each other up and so forth. Whereas Charlie Montoyo had said that he hadn't addressed any of that, because that might look like panicking. So Maybe there was a disconnect between players and managers. But as I said, today, after the firing, is the first time any of that had even been mentioned. So who really knows?
Yeah, that's the thing that's like, look at there. Like last year, Mike Schilt got the Cardinals to go on a wild winning streak at the end of the season and were able to punch their ticket to the wild card game, and they almost won the wild card game. And then he got fired. And he clearly had issues with the front office, and they let him play the string out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and basically once the string was played out, then they parted ways. That really surprised me, especially because he was the National League Manager of the Year in 2019, did a great job, got a couple of votes as National League Manager of the Year last year. And, you know, then word got out that maybe there was a lot of clashing going on with the front office. The fact that you've forgotten more about the Toronto Blue Jays than I'll ever know, and you're a lot closer to the channels of people who would know, the fact of the matter that this kind of, like, this came out of nowhere is what's so startling about it, and makes me, I guess the question I'll ask you, follows the team a lot closer than I do, like, there's a lot of rumblings about, say, Tony La Russa, who's managing, like, Mr. Magoo. With the White Sox. He's made some bizarre moves that makes you think, hey, Tony, 11 years ago, you were a Hall of Famer. You're the greatest finale. You're the greatest ride to the sunset you could have. Why'd you come back? Why'd you ruin all that? Has there been a bunch of moves? It didn't strike me that there were a ton of moves like that. Has he been unorthodox with his moves? Have been fans saying, what the hell is he doing? I mean, have I not seen some of that?
There is a large camp of Blue Jays fans who do not think that Charlie Montoyo is a good tactical manager. There have been a lot of questions about his bullpen management, more so perhaps last season than this season. Questions about lineup construction and sort of the rigidity of that. Questions about, say, you know, when to shift. I think Kevin Gausman actually didn't want players playing the shift behind him. I can't remember exactly what the wording of all of that was. So there definitely has been a contingency that has questioned decisions that Charlie has made during the game. There's another contingency of fans that have questioned whether or not he's too soft as a manager. I feel like a lot of those fans are probably not going to be pleased no matter what. Like they don't like the home run jacket. Failing to realize that the Baltimore Orioles put on a gold chain and the Red Sox ride around in a laundry cart and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, that's false machismo. That's in my day, they just nodded their heads and went down and ate, you know, shut up.
Exactly. they don't want this team to have any fun, it sounds like, because apparently fun is bad, or suggests that they're not serious or whatever the case might be. So, yes, there have been people that have questioned Charlie Montoyo's managing. An interesting tweet today from Ben Nicholson-Smith, who covers the team, said that he's not expecting massive tactical differences once John Snyder starts managing the Jays, because he was already a leading decision maker, strategically speaking. So that also suggests that Charlie Montoyo was not working in a vacuum, number one, with his decisions, that there was input from others, such as John Snyder. And so if you didn't like what Charlie Montoyo was doing in game, then you're not necessarily going to like what John Snyder ends up doing either, if he was a leading decision maker. So it's really difficult. Like, you know, you're trying to sort of piece all of this together, because so much of what has come out today you know, has been information that has not been suggested, not even rumbled about up until this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, by the way, do you also was not a great strategy manager? Joe Torre, Terry Francona, Dusty Baker. There's a lot of managers who have had a tremendous amount of success who made, I mean, Joe Torre made some unbelievably bizarre moves in his time, even at when the Yankees were at the peak winning all those championships. You know, as a Red Sox fan, I could tell you there's a couple points I was going, Terry, Francona, you okay? Everything okay? What are you doing? But, you know, when they work, no one remembers. You know, right. Here in Los Angeles, there's because there was a couple of questionable moves that Dave Roberts made in the game against St. Louis yesterday. Had some people like, oh, man, maybe Dave Roberts is next. Are you kidding me? You know, I mean, no, stop. So, you know, there's, I don't know, though. I do want to say one thing when we do our final segment, because, you know, even listening to you talk things out, there's something that's kind of brewing in my head. And it just, but like going into today, I mean, I would have said the odds on favorite for the next manager to get fired would have been Tony La Russa.
Absolutely. And
yeah. But you know what? I'm glad I didn't put a bet down on that. But if I was going to put a bet down on that, I would have gone to Bet Online. It's your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including the baseball season. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And betonline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's the fastest and easy way to check in your favorite sports, events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the betonline.net website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline is where the game starts. So let me just bring up something that's been brewing in my head here, Jen Smith. Yeah, there could have been a players-only meeting. There could have been clashing going on between the manager and management regarding this strategy or that strategy. Could this be someone in the front office covering their own tracks in a way? That this team that they spent all this money on isn't running away with the division like they hoped they were. So this is a little distract here so they don't point the blame at me for not constructing this team as well as they thought they did.
I think there could be an element of that. Absolutely. I said right off the top that I think there's plenty of blame to go around for how this Blue Jays season has played out thus far. And in his press conference today, Ross Atkins reiterated numerous times that ultimately he is responsible. He meaning Ross. And
just fired the manager.
Right. He said very little that was tangible during the press conference. I will say that first of all, but he kept restating how he's responsible. And so, you know, I guess perhaps you could claim, you know, by firing Montoyo, he's admitting, quote unquote, that Montoyo wasn't the right choice in the first place. And maybe that is what he means by taking responsibility. But the reality is there are no more excuses now. There can be no more fire Montoyo tweets or no more blame the manager, you know, or anything of that nature. Now it is entirely on the players who take the field every single night to perform to expectation. And it is up to the front office to figure out how to fill the holes in this team, particularly with regards to that pitching staff, right?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that makes it brilliant for the front office is if the Blue Jays now go on a good run, and if the Blue Jays do well in the postseason, they could suddenly say, oh, I made the right choice. I made the right choice here.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it could end up working out for them. And what's, you know, the thing is if they do make deadline trades and that's really the reason why they go on a run versus because they change the manager, either way, they're kind of almost covering their tracks, so to speak, right? Right. You know, I think the timing of this is really strange. I think if they were going to fire him after that awful road trip, why not do it yesterday before yesterday's game? Right? They won last night.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I find that just strange. Why not wait till the All-Star break? You know, yeah. Unless, like I said, unless there is something behind the scenes that we really don't know about. One of the, you know, to give context, one of the things that was speculated about today was during last night's game, there was a play at first base that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. told the team, don't challenge this, right? Vlad knew, you know, he hadn't tagged the base, right? So don't challenge this. But the Blue Jays challenged the play anyways, and they lost the challenge. And Vlad did not look happy with that decision. So there was suggestion that perhaps that was the final straw, so to speak. I have no, I mean, I'd like to think that the players aren't running the team. You know, maybe I have absolute, you know, if it's the last thing in a long line of things, okay, maybe. But, you know, again, all of this came as news to fans today. Not necessarily, you know, there are some people who have been calling for his firing all along. So yeah. This maybe didn't necessarily come as a surprise to them. But I think all of these, you know, rumblings about how John Schneider has been, you know, making a lot of the decisions along the way, and how perhaps Montoyo and the clubhouse weren't exactly getting along, all of that is totally out of left field, pardon the pun.
What do we know about Schneider? I mean, you said that he was working. Was he working closely with the front office? I wouldn't know who he was if he walked in there wearing a "Hello, my name is John Schneider" shirt.
Yeah, he's worked for the organization for a number of years. He's been with their minor league affiliates, their AAA team, the Buffalo Bisons, before getting called up. So he has worked with a lot of these players. You know, he has a history, for example, with Vlad and Bo from their minor league days. So he does at least at this moment seem like an ideal candidate to take over that position. He's well known to the players and well known to the organization. Whether this is a stopgap measure or whether he is now the long-term manager will obviously have to wait and see how that plays out.
Right. Well, this whole thing feels like there's something we don't know. Like this, like we're going to look back at this podcast in a week and I'm like, oh, Jen and Sully were talking about this, but they didn't know blank.
Right.
You know, there's some other shoe that's going to drop. Well, look at it. 6-2 Toronto as we're recording this. So, so far the move has worked out great. So far it's been, you can, it's a small sample size of not quite one game, but that's enough for me to say this was the right decision. Well, look at, I was gobsmacked. I was totally gobsmacked. I didn't know what the hey was going on, but hey, I knew that. And apparently you don't know what's going on either, but I'm glad that two people who don't know what's going on can get together and say collectively, huh? Wow. Look at, well, look at, I wonder if Joe Maddon is going to start calling up some of these people, because the Angels organization is a haunted house. They're just bizarre. And I had said the Mariners, when they were floundering under 500, I thought maybe the Mariners should pick them up. And I guess they heard that, service heard that up in Seattle, and they have now raised their winning streak to drum roll, please, 10 games. 10 games. They swept the doubleheader today against Washington. So the Mariners are breathing down the neck of their fellow 1977 expansion team that happens to be called the Toronto Blue Jays, which brings us full circle back to Jen Smith. Hey, Jen Smith, where can people follow the wonderful things that you do?
So first of all, you can follow me on Twitter at @baseball_Jen, and that's Jen with two N's. I currently join the Walk Off podcast live every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. We do what is called a long toss episode.
I appeared on one. It was a very long toss episode.
Yes, but yes.
But it was fun. It was really, it's a great show, everyone, especially if you love to go deep on baseball talk. You guys, you all do a wonderful job. I was very happy when you brought me in on this as a guest. Oh. I had a ton of fun.
Thank you. It is Blue Jays centered, but we do stray away from the Blue Jays to talk baseball at large. So it's a good time, and you know, you can tune in on Sundays to watch it live, or you can, you know, watch the broadcast of it that gets posted later on Monday. And I have a couple of other things that are in the works that I'm not quite yet ready to put out there, but there is more. There's more to come from Jen.
All right. Well, let me know. We'll have you on to plug it, because I have no doubt. In fact, here's what we should do. When you feel ready to start plugging it, we'll have you back on, but we'll go back to this episode and we'll re-listen to it. And we'll talk about, here are the things we didn't know. Here are the things we didn't know. So we will return to this one here. Thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listen. Hey, Dan Roddick, who's been a columnist for the Baltimore Sun for the past half century, is going to be my guest on tomorrow's show. We're going to be talking about the improbable rise of the Baltimore Orioles and try to figure out what the hey is going on there. Try to make your second listen be Locked On MLB Prospects. Hey, that's host Lindsey Crosby. He's a prospect encyclopedia, and he goes deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Well, Jen Smith, we started the show confused, and we ended the show confused. But at least we had a nice time doing it. This has been an emergency North of the Border Locked On MLB show with Jen Smith. Thanks for joining us. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.